Georgia. Online at
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Speaking out against weekend mass shootings, President Trump calling for bipartisan solutions to the bloodshed. The president declared the shootings in Texas and Ohio barbaric crimes against all humanity, calling for unity to respond to an epidemic of gun violence. He blamed mental illness and video games. The president also said he wanted legislation providing strong background checks for gun users. The FBI has announced it's opening a domestic terrorism investigation into the attack at the Garlic Food Festival in Gilroy, California. Britain's prime minister says the UK is leaving the European Union in less than 90 days, either with or without a divorce agreement. Boris Johnson says he will attempt to get a new and improved deal. The Trump administration says trade negotiations with China still on track, despite this over currency. The Dow is 70, NASDAQ up 1. This is SRN News.
There's a strong chance of afternoon thunderstorms today. The high will be about 90 degrees. This evening, a 50-50 chance of early thunderstorms. Overnight, the low 76. Tomorrow, thunderstorms are possible with a high of 90. Thursday, isolated thunderstorms at a high of 94. Friday, partly cloudy with a high of 95.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary this Tuesday afternoon, and it's wet here in Jacksonville. I don't know how it is up in Virginia or Mississippi or Texas or wherever you're listening from. Of course, it's
or Idaho.
It's or Idaho. James, our good friend up there. And, you know, but we need a little rain. Just cool it off a little bit, Doug.
Yeah, we do. It was getting a little warm, but, you know, I don't like the thunderstorms, the boomers, man. The power knocks stuff out. We want our radio stuff. So we want our radio. Still a lot in the news about the shooter, the shooting out in El Paso. Not so much about Dayton as much, but still need to be praying for those families. If you've been in a bubble or away from the news, there were two mass shootings this past weekend, one in El Paso and one up in Dayton, Ohio. And a lot of attention, Brad, has been given to the supposedly manifesto that the guy in El Paso wrote. Now, I read part of it. I didn't read all of it.
I have not even looked at it.
But some of the things that were written in there do not sound like something an 18, 19, 20-year-old would write or 21-year-old. I'm just telling you, I am not a conspiracy theorist at all. I there's a lot of conspiracy theorists lately here in this country. Everybody's afraid of Big Brother, but there's something not right about that. I was talking with you and Steve about it yesterday. There's just so many things in there that don't make sense. And I talked to two people yesterday who said it was cosmic. There was something evil, really more than just a bad person evil. There was something demonic about what happened. And if you look at the photo of the guy, there's an emptiness in those eyes there, a hollowness there that was either he was on drugs or whatever. But in this manifesto, he supported the Christ Church shooter. Now, the Christ Church shooter, I don't know if you remember that. That happened.
Is that the one up in the Carolinas?
No. See, this is a mistake that some people are making, because the Christ Church shooting was at a mosque in New Zealand. Hmm. And it happened,
Christ Church, New Zealand.
Happened back in March of this year. But a lot of people were thinking about the church shooting in South Carolina, but Christ Church was in New Zealand, and it was a mosque shooting where there were two terrorists shooting at a mosque. It was more than one mosque, and it happened back in March. They killed 51 people, injured 49. But the guy who did that over there was a 28-year-old man, one of them. He basically was a white supremacist and a part of the alt-right is what they called him. And he's been charged with 51 murders and 40 attempted murders and engaging in terrorist acts. But this guy wrote a 74-page manifesto, something like that. And so the guy in El Paso apparently was tied into that, or somebody wants you to believe he's tied into that. Because and I don't think right now you're at a stage, and I haven't heard any law enforcement guys come out and say that he wrote it. They said he purposely wrote it, or he is reported to have written it. In that he talks about that. He also talked about some other bizarre things in the manifesto, like big corporations and like really what you would consider left of center thinking. So it was bizarre because the whole immigration thing was right of center, but some of the other statements he made in there were, it was very just, it's confusing. So, I don't know. The whole thing with racism and white nationalism and white supremacy, you know, makes no sense at all if you're a believer.
Yeah.
I mean, when you stop and think about it, unfortunately, because of our European influence, a lot of times, when we see paintings of Jesus, we see a white-skinned European-looking guy with blue eyes, right?
That's right.
But Jesus was a dark-skinned Jewish man. He was from the Middle East. He was Middle Eastern. The Christian worship, the faith that we espouse, is not a Western thing. It started in the Middle East. It started in Jerusalem. And, I crack up sometimes at the whole white supremacist thing from a Christian perspective when people say they're Christian, but they also say they're white supremacist, because those two things don't go together. It's kind of like saying,
kinda like abortion,
I'm an adulterer, I'm a boarder or whatever, and a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just those two ideas don't go together. Racism, plain and simple, is sinful. Whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're yellow, whether you're red, it does not matter. You know, I remember that song growing up, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. You know, you don't hear that very much anymore.
Mm-mm.
I haven't heard that song in a long time, but maybe we ought to start singing it.
I was going to say, you can probably pull that up. You're good at the music.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's no place for racism in the Christian worship experience for anybody. We should be people that love people. In fact, you know, Brad, I was teaching today from Romans 8 over on the west side. And Romans 8 divides the human race into two categories, period. And it's not based on race. It's not based on socioeconomic group. It's not even based on what country you came from. It's based on believer, unbeliever, a person of the spirit, a person of the flesh. That's it. I mean, that is it. So for all you people out there who are listening, who, you know, who get caught up in this racism stuff, can I just ask you to really introspect a little bit? Because it's all over in every realm. And, you know, this past weekend, you were at the SWAT retreat. We had brothers there. We had black brothers. We had lighter-skinned brothers. We had Hispanic brothers. But we were brothers. We did not see somebody as a black believer or a white believer. We just were brothers together who were spiritual warriors wanting to advance truth. And I'm so grateful that that we have guys that represent all different walks of life. We have people that come from great means. We have people that come from little means. And isn't that the way the body should be?
We're all one in Christ. We're one family. And, you know, you look at our culture, our society, the media, the attempt is to divide us every way we can. And it's made its way into the church, unfortunately, and it has to stop. But it stops with us, you know?
Yeah, any effort at all to elevate somebody's race or ethnic, you know, background as being inferior or superior is really unacceptable.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this, too, to speak to political correctness. And by the way, you're welcome to call in on this issue. I'd love, I mean, this is a topic that's right now really, it's a conversation and dialogue we need to have in our country. I was sharing with one of my brothers at the SWAT retreat. We were talking about a statement, and this guy made the statement, and it was something that if I would have made that statement, and we laughed about it, if I would have made that statement and you would have videotaped me making that statement, even though it was true, it could have been considered racist in the current political climate and political correctness we have. And I grew up in the South, playing sports, baseball and football, with people of different skin tones than I was. And I played with them, and we all played together, and we loved each other, and we played hard together, and we won a state championship. And we didn't, you know, we celebrated the differences. Right. Like, there's nothing wrong with celebrating differences of our ethnic background and who we are. That is not racism to celebrate. God made us diverse, and we should celebrate those things. Mm-hmm. There's not. Listen, I'll tell you right now, if you go to Shiloh Baptist Church downtown, which is predominantly made up of black believers, mm-hmm. or you go to a church that's made up of predominantly white skin believers, you're going to have two different worship experiences based on two different cultural backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. It's like when we go to India or Cuba, the different diversities of cultures is a beautiful thing that God has given us, and we celebrate that. It doesn't mean that we sacrifice that to be one. We come together in many one. E pluribus unum means, you know, in many one. We come together unified, but we celebrate the diversity. And I think somewhere along the line, we've lost that. Because of political correctness.
Well, and that's why I say, I think, yeah, it's definitely made its way into the church, where you begin to identify yourself as, you know, conservative, Republican, Democrat, black, white, whatever it is. Yet we in the church need to identify ourselves as Christ followers, co-heirs with Christ. Doesn't matter what skin color you are. Doesn't matter what your background is. It really doesn't matter. We are one in Christ.
We are one.
We need to celebrate that.
We should. We should be celebrating. And I don't know if you heard the briefing this morning, but Dr. Moeller introduced, well, actually, and he was quoting from a couple of newspaper articles, but California introduces a new ethnic studies model for high school curriculum. And I'll just tell you, somebody told me this years ago that what happens in California usually will filter out to the rest of the country about 5 years later.
I thought you were going to say what goes on in California needs to stay in California.
Well, that's true. But we have, listen, there's some good churches out there.
There are
some good people. In fact, one of our favorite pastors is out there.
Yep.
But anyway, one of the disturbing things about what he shared was they're changing spelling in this ethnic studies curriculum. And when we come back, I want to tell you some of the ways they're changing spelling to create a new type of, they're not even calling it history. I mean, it's not
sounds
called
like a new
history.
Language or,
well, it's not even that. It is the study of intersectional and ancestral roots, coloniality, hegemony, and a dignified world where many worlds fit for present and future generations.
So. I'm glad. I can't wait to cover this when we get back. Glad you joined us. SWAT Radio, 844-777-7928. Give us a call.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Face down in the desert now. There's a cage locked around my heart. I found a way to drop the keys when my failures were. Now my hands can't reach that far.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. A little technical difficulty.
When the rain happens, things happen, doesn't it?
It's crazy.
I mean, it really does.
All right, well, let's jump into this conversation. So California introduces this new ethnic studies model curriculum for high schools.
Yes.
By the way, this was a great quote by Dr. Moeller. It says, if you control the curriculum, you control the educational system.
Well, and that's true. And that's sure. What the whole, and I don't know if you remember, but we had Charlene Cothran on, I think it was over a year ago, talking about, she was a lesbian advocate for the gay and lesbian community up in D.C.
And
very, very big activist, had a magazine and everything else. And she said that if we can get the schools, then we got the kids. And if we get the kids, we have the future. And so what they're doing in this curriculum out there is that they said the field grapples with the various power structures and forms of oppression, including but not limited to white supremacy, race and racism, sexism, classism, homophobia, Islamophobia, transphobia, and xenophobia that continue to impact the social, emotional, cultural, economic, and political experience of Native people and people of color. Now, listen, there are some things in there that we need to have conversations about, no doubt. But do you see what happens? Everything else gets put in there. They even are changing the spelling of history as herstory, H-E-R. They're taking his, like H-I-S, out, making her story about it. And instead of calling a woman women, they call them WOMXN. That's just crazy, because what they're trying to do is change our culture socially and into ways that I really don't think we want to see. But I think we got a call. James, welcome to SWAT Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just heard you talking about, you know, race in the church and in our political arena. And it was just good to hear some of the things that you were saying. As an African American, one of my struggles is when you tell somebody, hey, the rhetoric that you're using, it's uncomfortable and it hits racism. And then you have people saying, no, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. And I'm like, look, when somebody of color is telling you that what you're saying or how you're it's racist. I know that the race card has been used a lot, but in our political arena right now, there's plenty of rhetoric that has been looked at as racist, and people of color are trying to say it's racist, and other people are just turning their head and saying, no, it's not. And it's like, yeah, it is. And it's not by one or two people of color, but even people who are not of color are also saying it's racist. How do we deal with that?
Yeah, James, can I ask you a question? Did you hear our conversation about the beauty of the diversity of the different cultures when I was talking about that?
Yes.
Do you agree with that? Being a person of color, do you agree that we don't want to stifle the beauty of the differences in our cultures, in our backgrounds? I think that's a beautiful thing that God gave us, but I'd be interested to hear your comments on that.
Listen, I love different colors. I love different ethnicities. I love tasting the food. I like when you're talking about celebrating. Oh, I love it. I love it. It's great. But my struggle is when somebody says, hey, if somebody would come to me of Irish descent,
yeah,
and say, hey, you know what? When you're in Ireland, here's Northern Ireland, and then here's Ireland. I was told that one day, and I was like, got it. I didn't go to them like, oh, come on, man, it's Ireland. It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about. No. It's Northern Ireland. I will call this part Northern Ireland, and I'll call the rest of this Ireland. And so when I'm hearing certain things in the political arena that are said, it's like, oh, man, that's racist rhetoric. And it is what it is. But my problem is when people don't step up and say, yeah, it is, and we need to stop it, or, oh, man, you don't know what you're talking about. It's like, no, it hurts. And when you tell me it doesn't hurt, then what you're telling me is it's not racist. And when you're telling me that, what you're telling me is you don't care. And that's how I just want to hear your thoughts.
Oh, no, I appreciate your call. Thank you for being a listener, and thanks for calling in. You know, like I shared earlier, basically, we are divided into two groups of people, believers and non-believers, as far as God's concerned. We're people of the flesh or people of the spirit. Now, how we look to people is different. And man, because we've been influenced by the enemy and all he wants to do is still kill and destroy, has tried to create lots of barriers because of these ethnic differences and our skin differences. And you know, one of the things is that we are commanded, this is not an option, to love one another as he loves us. Well, when we love somebody like he loves us, that means if you tell me that I'm doing something that's offensive to you, I don't just blow it off. Even if I don't agree with it, if I'm offending you and hurting you, I say, you know what, James, I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to do that. I love you, brother. I don't want to hurt you or anybody, to be honest with you, because I'm a believer. But when you step out of the realm of believers and you deal with unbelievers, you're going to hear things that are bad because they're influenced and not led by the Spirit. And so what I want to say is, and Brad, you can jump in on this too, is that I think on both sides, we have a responsibility to address our responsibility to love, but we also have to speak to the issue of forgiveness. And I have seen some incredible examples of people who had been treated very racially insensitive who showed forgiveness. And boy, you talk about getting a megaphone and just shouting how much they love God through that. It is a great testimony. It's hard to do, but I think that we have a responsibility to do both. And I don't know if you had a chance to hear Vaughn McLaughlin when Vaughn was on here. Vaughn is a great brother, and he's had a great heart for seeing this city come together. And, you know, and I think Jacksonville could be a model. It could be, you know, we're going to do this Transform Jacksonville thing, and we're trying to get, we need people of color and of lighter color to come together in this city to show the world what it looks like when Christians can influence a community. That's what I think. So,
yes. Great job.
Well,
I agree.
James,
first, thanks for calling. I mean, what a kind of a hot topic, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's, you know, in a similar way, Doug, I feel like it's the race card that gets thrown down when there's nothing else they can discuss. And I'm not, this isn't about a political statement, but it's the same thing that when we as followers of Christ want to call out something that we believe is sin, that is sin, that the Bible tells us is sin, what's the immediate response we get? You're hateful. That's it. Okay, that's the only thing you can come up with. So if we disagree, we're hateful. We're racist. We're bigots. We're whatever it is. And I just think it's a shame that we can't come together and just have some civil conversation. You know, let's love one another. Listen, you and I talk about this all the time. There are lots of things. I'm in the corporate world. I'm in the marketplace. I'm around people all the time that use language I don't care for. They do things I don't care for. But I can still love on them, you know. But I need to engage in a relationship with these people. We all do. And I think when people start labeling us in certain ways, I was just, by the way, James, I don't know if you were following this, these three, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, and Bernie Sanders are all going to stake out around this church in Las Vegas. This pastor, Robert E. Fowler of Victory Missionary Baptist Church, he really stands against the LGBTQ
agenda. Yeah.
And they are basically, they're all out after this guy. And it's a shame that we're not allowed to have our own views, you know.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I believe in our culture, too. That like this pastor out in Las Vegas, they may come after him. He'll stand the test. And you know, James, I had a very candid conversation with an older African-American woman a few years ago, and you know what she was saying? She was saying there's always been racism, you know, but back in the 50s or 60s we were in the Word. This is what she said. We were in the Word. You know, we held our faith. We were people of faith. And I think we've seen an exodus in a lot of different churches. We've seen exodus in suburban churches. We've seen exodus of inner city churches, urban churches. And I think one of the problems in our country right now is that faith has been kind of kicked to the curb. Faith in God, faith in Jesus has been kicked to the curb. And so you have all this unrestrained speech and all these unrestrained attitudes that the Spirit is not in control of. And that's why you get all this hatred going out there. At least that's my take on it. So,
yes. Well, I just thank you for what you do and what you're talking about, and I appreciate it. You guys have a blessed day.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in, man. Yeah,
thanks, James.
Yeah.
Well, I think it goes even to what we started the conversation off here in the second segment about this California introducing this new ethnic studies. Are we that advanced now that we need to have this? I mean, I didn't see it, and I haven't read it. I've got it open. I'll try and read it on the break. But I wonder if there's anything about how we're to speak with those who believe in Jesus Christ. I bet there's nothing in there about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
We're going to bow down to all these other things that really are a slap to biblical, you know, understanding, biblical theology.
Well, I mentioned the word herkstory, right? H-K-R-S-T-O-R-Y. They also have another word in there called cis-heteropatriarchy and cisgender and these different words. But have you ever heard of cis-heteropatriarchy?
No.
All right. It's cis plus hetero plus patriarchy, and it's defined as a system of power that is based on the dominance of a cis-heterosexual man. And we're going to talk about that when we come back, because I want to get into that. How do we reach these people? Mm. So when we come back, you're listening to SWAT Radio. We'll be right back after the news.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. Even though they're not in session, members of Congress are speaking up on solutions to gun violence.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer spoke outside a New York Walmart with GOP Congressman Peter King. Schumer continues to push for the Senate to take up the House gun bill.
The Walmart was in El Paso, but it really could be anywhere in America, even here, as long as easy access to weapons of war remain the unaddressed crisis.
And in Pennsylvania, GOP Senator Pat Toomey says he's spoken with the president.
I later yesterday spoke with Senator Manchin, who is still fully on board with me on our background check legislation. I spoke with Mitch McConnell, and we had a very constructive conversation.
Shelley Adler, Washington.
President Trump has declared the shootings in Texas and Ohio barbaric crimes against all humanity. He blamed mental illness and video games and wants legislation providing strong background checks for gun users. The president and first lady will visit El Paso and Dayton on Wednesday. Also at townhall.com, China putting the brakes on its currency slide, but tensions with the U.S. remain high.
China has stabilized the yuan, suggesting it might hold off from aggressively letting the currency weaken as a way to respond to American tariffs in a trade war that is wounding the world economy. An upward-moving yuan comes a day after Beijing sent financial markets tumbling by allowing the currency to fall to an 11-year low. A weaker yuan can help neutralize American tariffs on Chinese goods by making them more price competitive on international markets. But relations remain tense between the U.S. and China over complaints that China does not trade fairly. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The Dow is ahead 236 points and the Nasdaq up 100. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Expect delays because of an accident on the East Beltway 295 heading south beyond Bay Meadows Road. Also, there's a crash on 295 northbound before Bay Meadows Road. And another accident on the West Beltway 295 heading north at the ramp to Collins Road on the west side. Mostly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers tonight, low 75. Wednesday, partly sunny, high 92.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Now, okay, so Steve just found out that is Styx.
Yeah.
Gosh, I listened to Styx a lot when I was a kid. They were, I think they're out of Chicago, aren't they?
I think yeah. So. They were a great group. Show Me the Way is a song that I used to use because a guy named Perry Bowers exposed mm-hmm. me to it. And I heard the words, and basically what he said is, you know, music is usually 10 to 15 years ahead of where we are with lyrics and dealing with issues. And this song was written 30 years ago, but did you listen to the words?
Right.
You know, our saints turn into sinners. We've got pastors falling left and right, whether it's Joshua Harris or somebody else. And we got hate filled with hate. The headlines make me discouraged. I mean, it's afraid I've lost my faith. Show me the way. Show me the way. Well, the only person that can show anybody the way is the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit flows through us. And I love, he says in the song, take me to the river. John 7:37 says, anyone who comes to me, out of him will flow rivers, rivers of living water. And that river is what? The Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
That's what I taught on today, Brad, over on the west side. And I'll tell you, Romans 8:1-11 is an incredible passage about there's no condemnation. And that word doesn't mean the judgment. It means the punishment. It means that there was a judgment that took place. That judgment took place on Christ, but he took our punishment. And there is, Romans 8 starts off with saying there's no judgment mm-hmm. for you.
There's now no condemnation.
And at the end of Romans 8, he says there's nothing that can ever separate us.
Mm-hmm.
It is such an encouraging passage of Scripture. But when I was remembering this song, Show Me the Way, and I thought, you know, for us as believers, we have a responsibility to be a light in the midst of the racism, in the midst of the hatred, in the midst of the tragedy, in the midst of the darkness. We are to shine. We are to try to be a light. Now, it's not easy. And the enemy comes along and does whatever he can. I'm going to tell you, I did something dumb last night. I did something very selfish last night and felt awful. So I go over to the west side to teach this morning feeling like a failure. Because I'm like, I've been doing this thing for a long time. I've been teaching the Bible for 25 years. Before that, I was walking with Christ for a long time. And you'd think by now I'd have it together, but that's the story. We never get it together this side of heaven. This side of heaven, and that's what Paul struggled with in Romans 7. He says, oh, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. And, oh, this life of mine, what am I to do? And he says, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that is so encouraging. I mean, I was thinking about it this morning. It was no coincidence that that's what I was teaching. That what I experienced coming off the high of the retreat weekend and having that humbling experience last night and this morning.
Well, verse 3, for God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gospel right there.
It is.
As much as we strive, and we certainly should strive, Paul says strive to enter the narrow gate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the idea that even our striving, we're going to fall short.
Yeah.
We're going to sin.
Yeah.
God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do.
I think I've seen in my life so many times that God will allow me to be humbled by my own choices before he uses me to proclaim the truth, because I preach it to myself. Yeah. And I was just thinking, that was such a great truth this morning, that the Holy Spirit, we live in a world that really teach bad teaching about the Holy Spirit. When you look at the Holy Spirit is not an immaterial force. The Holy Spirit is not like the Force in the Star Wars movies. The Holy Spirit is not a power. The Holy Spirit is a person who is powerful. that lives in you. And, you know, in John, when Jesus said to his disciples, he goes, you know, it's better for you that I go away. Now, think about that for a second. They had been with him for 3 years. And he's telling them, and they'd seen all these miracles. They'd seen him. And, you know, when they blew it, he was right there to pick them up and say, Peter, you almost had it, and encourage him. And now he's telling them he's going to leave. And they're panicked. And he goes, hey, it's better that you go away. Mm-hmm. What's better than having Jesus in the flesh? I hear so many times people say, if I could only see Jesus in the flesh like they did, if I could only be around him. And he says, it's better that you have the Holy Spirit in you rather than me right beside you.
Yeah.
Now, and that's him saying that. And I'm going to tell you, every good thing that comes through Brad Sykes or Doug McCary or any other believer is a result of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And so I just throw this question. I threw it out to the guys this morning. Have you ever thanked the Holy Spirit for illuminating God, the gospel to you? Have you ever thanked the Holy Spirit for even giving us the written word? He wrote the Bible through men that we have. Have you ever given him thanks for sanctifying you, for taking the lumps for you as you went along and still helping you work through those? Have you ever thanked the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you, Brad, I haven't done it much. And as I was reading this morning, I had to repent, because sometimes I treat the Holy Spirit like a force rather than a person. And the Puritans were great about this. They would always thank God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. They treated them like the triune Trinity they are. And I think because we don't understand it very well, we don't address the Holy Spirit very much.
That's good. I mean, I think there's... That's just good teaching right there. It's it's understanding. I mean, I think that you're right. That we're very shallow in many churches today. It's like what they say, we're a mile wide, but we're an inch deep. We need to really be narrower and much deeper in our doctrine and our understanding of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, is that I was talking about rejoicing last week out of 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18, is that, you know, God is the one who, I mean, it's God, it's Jesus, and it's the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who is going to produce the fruit of joy in my life. I mean, I can try to muster up some joy, but rest assured, it's only a matter of time before that joy is blown out. If the Holy Spirit is in you, and I think even Romans speaks to that, you know, that it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Listen, as we try to muster this up in the flesh, we're not going to be very successful at it. If we're going to produce, I mean, I think one of the things you presented earlier in the conversation is, in light of all that's going on in our society, just over the weekend, even just this article you were reading from the briefing today, how do we respond to this? How do we, as those who profess to be followers of Christ, that the Spirit is dwelling in us, how are we to live? And I think that this idea that we are to walk in the Spirit, we are not to walk in the flesh. Because let's be honest, my flesh most of the time wants to react. You know, it's anger, it's whatever. And that's not of God.
Well, I you know, for the teaching today, I kind of had this outline about what it means to walk, to, you know, if we're in Christ, the Spirit leads us to live with actions that reflect freedom and gratitude, not bondage and frustration in our walk. The reason we do. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There. So when you have no condemnation, our action should show a love for God, not because we have to, but because we're grateful. And you know, I hadn't always thought that, but that's good news for people. Oh, and I think we ought to share it with them.
Great news. Hey, call us today. We got one more segment, 844-777-7928. We'll be right back. SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as the co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida and are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate. The Guardian Group, with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards, 904-580-7255. And online at GuardianGroupJax.com. The Guardian Group, happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the Truth.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
As they sing, holy, holy is the Lamb.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.
Heaven's choirs in harmony lift up praises to the great I Am. Listen as a newborn soul sings, I have been redeemed. But his
favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed. When lost sinners now may flee, lift their voices loud and strong.
Man, that's good. You know, that was the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. You know, Leah, my middle daughter, did her internship in New York City. And, of course, she visited a number of churches, ultimately ended up in a church in Brooklyn, but visited Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir several times, Tim Keller's church also. But, you know, talking about just the demographics, the race, she actually ended up attending and singing at a little black church in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And they just embraced this, you know, cute little white girl in that little church, and she loved it there.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Brooklyn Tabernacle, Jim Cimbala leads that church and has done a great job. But he, you know, he's got a book. In fact, Jeff Wells last week referenced it called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great book that I think he even talks a little bit about how the church kind of began there. And it didn't start off easy, as, you know, nothing ever does. The words to that particular song called "The Great," you know, it's his favorite song of all. It starts off, he loves to hear the wind sing as it whistles through the pines on mountain peaks. He loves to hear the raindrops as they splash to the ground in melody. He smiles in sweet approval as the waves crash to the rocks in harmony. Creation joins in unity to sing in majestic symphonies. That's right out of Psalm 19. Mm-hmm. That's the first six verses of Psalm 19. But the chorus is, his favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed. When lost sinners, now made clean, lift their voices loud and strong. When those purchased by his blood lift to him a song of love, nothing more he'd rather hear, nor so pleasing to his ear as his favorite song of all. And we have opportunities every day to be a witness. We can be a witness to people who are walking in darkness. And I hope that if you're listening to this program today, you would take inventory and think back in your own life. Have you asked anybody in the last week or month that you did not know, could you pray for them? Just to offer to pray for somebody is a starting point. Praying for somebody, praying for your neighbor. When's the last time you prayed for your neighbor? Do you even know their name? Do you know who they are? Do you know anything about them? Do you know their needs? You know, people have medical conditions and people have all kinds of things going on in their life. And we're so mobile as a culture, we don't even know what's happening in our neighborhoods and our things around us. And we watch the news 24/7 for everything going on in places that we have no ability to connect with people on, when we've got people right across the street that we could interact with and pray for and be a resource for and help.
Well, it's back to that prayer, care, share.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I mean, we are called to share with people. We got to pray first. Then we got to engage in their lives. I mean, I think there are people very close that live very close to us, proximity-wise, who are probably going through some very challenging times.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have anybody close enough they can share with. So why not a great opportunity? Pray for those people. If that makes you nervous, if you think, gosh, I've never really gone over to meet my neighbors,
mm-hmm.
Hey, pray about it before you go. Then go and just engage with them. Believe me, there will be more opportunities for more prayer and to share with these people.
Prayer is such an easy step-off point, isn't it? And before you start talking to people about God, you need to talk to God about the people.
Exactly.
You really do. And we're next week, we're really going to hit that hard. We're gonna be looking at some different passages of Scripture and talking about different things related to prayer, care, and share. You're going to hear that phrase a lot over the next 3 weeks. And the hope is, we've been talking about prayer. Paul Little's book was good about it, and so was Don Whitney's, what they wrote about. And basically, they just highlighted scriptures that address the issue, and they were both very practical. But prayer is the foundation. It is the absolute foundation. And, you know, tomorrow we're going to look at this idea of prayer from the perspective of Paul, who was in Colossians 4 in a prison. And he says, be devoted to prayer. Steadfast in it, he says. Be devoted. And I wonder what you are devoted to. If you ask your neighbors what you're devoted to, what would they say? If you ask your family members, what would they say? And I think when this idea of prayer, you know, we were talking about how hard it is to think about people who are really prayers. John Monger is devoted to prayer. I can tell you, Dawa's devoted to prayer. These men that I've witnessed, they are praying all the time. They're devoted to prayer. And what Paul says is, be devoted. Be devoted to prayer as it relates to the salvation of people. Not just what I can get out of something. He was in prison, and he's writing for people to pray for him to have an opportunity to share the good news with the people that are holding him captive. And I think a lot of our prayer time is to help me. Yes, we want to be authentic with God. Yes, we want to ask him to help us with the things that we need. but we also need to be interceding on behalf of the people and asking for the people around us. And what happens when you start praying for your neighbor or your friend who may not be a believer, he may be an outsider as far as the faith's concerned, God will begin to give you a burden for that person that's greater than the burden you already have. And it will soften you. It will make you sensitive not only to that person, but to other opportunities, because you're thinking about praying for that person, for the veil to come down, and you become attuned to opportunities that are around. And I mentioned this song by what's the guy's name? Give me your eyes. Brandon Heath the other day. Give me your eyes to see, Lord, those that are hurting around me. Give me your ears to hear their cries. And I just think that so often in our culture, we blow past the needy around us.
You know, I know we mentioned this last week, the Valley of Vision, the Puritan Prayers book. That book actually, Doug, is in addition to Donald Whitney's book, Praying the Bible. I've become over the years far more devoted to prayer than even the study of the Word. Even though the study of the Word is very important, I know that even as I open the Bible, I pray before I even open the Bible, because as you said, it's really the Spirit that's going to illuminate the text.
Well, He's the teacher.
Yeah, God, just please let Your Spirit teach me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this quote. E.M. Bounds said, "Prayer is the highest energy of which the human heart is capable." Prayer is the highest energy of which the human heart is capable. This really, Doug, should be the dominant feature of our life.
Well, it should be. And you know, if you're sitting out there and you're going, yeah, but you know what? I don't even know where to begin praying for my friend. Start by praying for yourself. Say, God, you know what? First of all, thank You for saving me. Forgive me for not being more motivated to share the gospel with my friends. You know, I ask this question a lot, Brad, when I go teach on evangelism at churches and I do these seminars on prayer, care, share. I say, hey, what is the biggest reason we don't share? Fear. People fear failure, you know, fear of rejection. And they say everything related to what limits them from doing it, except the one thing that is really introspective. We don't care, because we do the things we care about, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it.
Even the difficult things.
Yeah, you do what you really care about. So here's a prayer for you today. Lord, motivate me to share the gospel with my friends and other people. You know, back in John chapter 1, I love it. Andrew went, found his own brother, Simon. And he said to him, hey, we found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. You know, find somebody. Pray that God would use you to share and find somebody to bring to Jesus. And ask God to give you an open door, just like Paul prayed in Colossians. God, help me. Show me the open doors. Give me doors. Every time I get on an airplane, Brad, I pray, God, help me to be a witness for You to somebody on this flight today or on this journey. So, and then be specific, you know, ask God for love for people, boldness, courage, you know, ask Him for humility.
Well, these are things, Doug, that, as you said, why don't we pray? Well, we don't care, but we don't care enough to overcome the fear, or to overcome the rejection. That's a reason to pray. If you're fearful, pray.
Yeah. Say, God, help me, right? Yeah. And tomorrow we're going to talk about ways to pray specifically for your friend.
Amen. Glad you joined us today. SWAT Radio. You can go to SWATradio.com. Listen to past broadcasts there. Hope you'll join us tomorrow, 3:00 here. See you then, Doug.
See you tomorrow.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WAT.